Judges chapter 8. Now, I'd like to say on behalf of the brethren, myself, grateful to the church, your hospitality, the ladies for the good cooking, the food, and we're so grateful. And we ask that God bless you for your goodness, your kindness. January the 14th, 1952, near as nothing as could be, stumbling down the road of life because of a country mother prayers. I stumbled over a lion that the Lord Jesus had slaughtered. And the bees had gathered in there with honey and honeycomb. Not much, but every so often I get to stand in the highway of life. Little honey, some of it dripping off of my hand, wanting to give it to others. Often not knowing exactly how I should do it. I'm not gifted. I'm not talented. I'm not educated. Just God motivated. That's all I know. Never will forget when God put His love in my heart. And that's what I'd like to see to each and every individual that I'd meet. That somehow I might, by the grace of God, manifest that savor of the Lord so that they wouldn't see me. I'm nothing. But oh, that they could see Him and taste of the Lord and see how gracious and good He is. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the only thing that counts in life. Everything else is not only back seat, brother, it's rumble seat. It's way back yonder. I'm grateful for you brethren tonight. And I know that a lot of you have hard times. And if any man live godly and follow the Lord, you can put it down. You're going to be considered uncouth and out of the way and baked too much on one side and warped and the off-staring of the world and filth and unwanted. But I'm glad to God that He loves us. When the love of this world is faded, thank God. It's just going to begin. And I banked everything that I got on that out yonder. It's better. It's greater. It's sweeter. It's more enduring. It's everlasting. It's worth it. I wouldn't take what I take if it wasn't for that He let me eat of that honey. Oh man, how sweet. Oh well, Judges 8. Let's start with verse 18. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? They answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if thou had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, "Rise thou and fall on us, for as the man is, so is his strength." And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camel's neck. By God's grace and help, we find our text there in verse 21. For as the man is, so is his strength. Tonight I want to speak to you on a lean, mean, fighting machine.
Amen.
Gideon means one who cuts down. He must have been a mowing machine. In Psalm 38, three times God tells us to fret not over the evildoer. God said the time's coming, said, "Don't you worry about him, I'll mow his lawn." He'll be cut down like the grass.
Amen.
Here's Gideon, born a bastard. His brethren kicked him out till he needed him. I know a lot of God's people are like that tonight. They've gone through the battle and things have happened. And the Pharisees, they like to stand over there feeling snug and mum and pious. And look down their little conceited nose at them. It always takes a small man, his soul about the size of a scrub pineapple, got to look at somebody else and tear them down to exalt himself so that he can feel good. Oh, Pharisee, no one's ever been like him, meaner than hell, wicked as the devil. Someone said there's cleanliness is next to godliness, but not so, not necessarily so. There's no one as clean as a Pharisee. Man, he had the hundreds of things that he didn't do, he wouldn't do, he wouldn't touch. But Jesus said, "Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven." Why, no one was as pure and clean as they did. Why, they tithed, fasted twice a week. Yet they died and went to hell. And old Gideon, bastard and cast out by his brethren, there came hard times. And here come the brethren. Wonder why it's always like that. I was telling some of the brethren, a lot of the fellas let me preach in the fellowship, wouldn't let me preach in the church. I defiled their pulpit. But when they're down and out, and the wolf's barking, and the wind's blowing, and the night's dark, and hell is raging, then they want you to come and fight the battle. And so that's what they did to old Gideon, one who cuts down. And Gideon came, and old God used him and blessed him, and they went out to fight against the enemies, and they were winning, and they took some of the great men and won them. And he's coming along there after a battle, and the men were faint and hungry. And they came over to Succoth, and he told the people, said, "Give us loaves of bread, for we're faint, and we're chasing after old Zeba and Zalmunna." And they said, "Well, now." Said, "We don't see them in your hand. If you had them in your hand, we might give you loaves. But why? You're chasing all over the country. chasing Uzziah, Ziba, and Zalmunna. I said, why should we give you bread? He said, that's all right. When I come back, I'm going to take thorns and briars, and when I get through with you, you'd would to God you'd give me some bread. And he went over to Peniel. They had a tower there, and the men there asked him for bread, but they said the same thing. And they said, you wait till I get back. It's not going to take me long. I'll tear your tower down. I'll grind your piston rods. And so they went on, and before the sun came up, they'd conquered old Zeba and Zalmunna. And he came back and he asked the young feller, the son of Joash, a young man of Succoth, and he had him to describe unto him those princes and elders of Succoth back yonder. And I think it was over a hundred, 317 men anyway. He went back, he rounded them up, and he went out and got him some limbs. And he didn't get them, you know, there's nice and sweet, but them that had thorns and thistles on it. And briars. And I can see him as he come down now and strip them men. You want to laugh? Now laugh. And he laid it on them. He come over there, oh man, he'd come through that lean, wanting bread, but he wouldn't give it. Now he come back to me. Come over there to the tower, tore the tower down and killed the men. Lean and mean. I know some preachers, I never could understand how a fella could go into the pulpit way out here. I know you get middle-aged spread and old-timers disease. Some things you can't help. You're going to spread out because the foundation not holding up. Older you get, you're not as tall as you was, but you're wider. Reminds me of Psalm 68, verse 16. He's talking about the hill of God is as the hill of Bashan. Hill of Bashan, tall mountain, you know, Mount Hermon. But the hill of God was just a little insignificant hill. And he said, why leap ye high hills? This is a hill which God desired to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. God's always used that which was little and weak and insignificant. And of all the places in the universe, I don't know why he couldn't have picked out Kiss Me Quick Hill, the other side of home towards Blues Creek. But he picked out a little old hill, rocky, erosion, that only the Arabs want. Don't mount a hill of bean as far as hills bean.
Amen.
I've been up to Lover's Leap before. Never could get anybody to jump. And you've never seen a more beautiful sight in all of your life than when you look across that part of southern Virginia there from Lover's Leap. But there had never been any more insignificant place than Zion's hill.
Right.
Why, when the Lord was born, of all the places to be born, in Bethlehem of Ephrathah, just a little one, insignificant, nowhere. Hardly a crossroad for camels. And yet that's where he was born. Yet upon that cross, he gave a significance for it because God chose to shed the blood of God for the redemption of man on that place. And one day, one Wednesday afternoon, it looked like just like it did in Egypt when a man over his door, over here was blood and here was blood and here was blood. There were three crosses. One, a cross of reception. One of redemption. And one of rejection. One was a man going into darkness. And one was the light that shined in the darkness. And the other was a man that's coming out of darkness. Oh, there. On that old cross. Redemption, rejection, reception. One was a benefactor, Jesus. One was a blasphemer. And one was a believer. On that, one died for sin. One died in sin. And one died being saved from sin. One died in love. One died in despair. And yet one died in faith. And why men can choose darkness and choose to look back and see nothing but the wasted ashes of life, and look forward and see nothing but the burning fires of an eternal hell, I can't understand. But I know that that little hill became something. And I know that again one day, my Lord and my God, who said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And to prove it to you, I'll guarantee it. For the best guarantee you've ever seen, I'll send my Spirit and He'll seal you until that day. And I'll come back for you. I paid the price. There's nothing owed on it. There's no IOUs. They won't have to garnish you wages. No angel will call. Nobody will dun you. Since January the 14th, the night I ate honey out of the carcass of the lion of sin that God had slain, I've had inside of me a seal. That seal says, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, purchased by the Lamb, property of the Son of God. Outside, it don't look too hot, too good. I know that. I can't help how I look. If I could look better, I'd look better. But I know that He made me to look exactly like He wanted me to look. But I know one day they may slay us. But when they're caught and you say, what did they look like? He said, they look like children of the King. Hallelujah. They come over to Stephen. Ran on him and gnashed and chewed and took stones and pounded him senseless. But they'd seen the light and a countenance, a face like an angel, saw how a man ought to want to die, calling on God, saying, I see him. I see him. He had these two kings he called on Jether, his son, his firstborn, should have been a type of Jesus. And he said, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword. He feared because he was yet a youth, he feared he was insignificant. Just like that hill, but one day, for 1,000 years, on that hill. We hear them talk about Washington on the hill. Man, they don't know anything about a hill.
Yes, man.
Unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes, man.
That's the reason Psalm 68, you can turn that march into Zion. It talks about the chariots of God and when He comes and rule from that hill. I know another hill that's not too significant. It's out there in the cemetery. It's not much. Some of it's no hill at all. It's sunk down. Tombstones toppled in. You can't read the epitaphs. Briars and brambles grow. No one ever comes and puts flowers on it. No one comes with remembrance. It's faded from every living person until no one knows who was buried there. But He knows. I'm glad He knows. And His God wouldn't forget Noah, but remembered Noah in the ark. He'll remember that we're just dust. And there lays that old tabernacle that once housed the goods of God. He knows that those that were laid there, they look like children of the King. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said unto him, he said, rise thou and fall on us. For as the man is, so is his strength. Now I get to my text. As a man is, so is his strength. Psalm 103:1 said, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless ye the Lord. But some folks, there's not too much in them. Oh, they got the can and the markings on the can and the package and the labels got the name on it. But there's not too much on the inside. Thank God tonight I got saved. I'm so glad I didn't get religion. I'm so glad I didn't get a little formula to keep and some creed to quote. But I'm glad that I got a live, living, vital force that came in me. That's apart from me, yet it's of me. And as a man, so is his strength. You know, a man is known for a few things. You know, he's known for his identification, what he belongs to. I don't belong to the mooses and the gooses and the gander and the crows and the bats and the alligators.
Amen.
One fella said his wife said she's half alligator and half snapping turtle. I've never had to worry too much about belonging. Nobody's ever much wanted me anyway. Just country and awkward and backward and uncouth. I may not look much, but when I die, the angels will come out and said it looked like one of the children of the King. Hallelujah. As a man is, I'm glad I've got an identification tonight. And like old Paul, when their fellas tried to kiss the demons out, they said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? Tonight, when it comes to where it counts, hell and sin and disgrace raises its head and looks at modern religion and said, "Who are you?" Why, Walt, we know. Them fanatics down there, we know. They look like children of the King. But who are you? And just like that hill of Bashan would mock at the little hill of Zion, the big boys, they look and they mock. And the easy situated and luxury surrounded and the difficulty escaping fat cats look down upon Bible believers and God's people. And what are they? Where's their significance? But oh, thank God, where it counts. And to give the blood test. And to give the lying test. And they check the genes and the chromosomes. And it comes back from the lab written there. They look like children of the King. Hallelujah. Oh, the martyrs who sizzled in the fires of England. One dear old fella, most of his body had already burned off, and still he raised that little hand. Glory to God. No matter where the ashes may be, oh, thank God. One day the Lord's coming back, and the spirit of that one will come with him, flying from the east and the west and the north and the south, crying, "Oh grave, give it back. Oh ocean, wherever your waves and on what shore may roar, give it back." Maybe unburied and uncoffined and unsung on the mountainside, they'll come crying for the body. Give it back.
Amen.
How are you going to tell which body is which? Because they look like children of the King.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a man is, he's got an identification. I don't care so much what people think anymore, as long as they look somehow and see him in me. I wished I was good, but I'm not. I wished I was sinless, but I'm not. But the older I get, the less I like to sin. The more I hate and despise it. I wished I didn't have that pull and tug of the old man, the old nature. But I know one day I'll look like the King, thank God. But as a man is, he's got to have an identification. Then a man, as he is, so is his strength. He ought to have a devotion. A man is as he is by what he loves. Not only what he belongs to, but what he loves. What do you love? What do you love when nobody's around? What do you love when the preacher and the deacon's gone and the member's gone and no one of your religious faith is around? What do you love? I'm glad tonight that I love him. I had to get down last night. Well, and after midnight, usually try to get up somewhere between 2 and 3 and spend an hour with him. You say, why? Because he loves me. I like to be loved too. I want someone to let me lay my troubled, weary head upon their bosom, and he's the only one that'll let me. And I may have to do it in the wee hours of the night. And I come up when the crowd is gone. And the multitude is quieted. And the light's out. And the throughfare's not crowded. And I come and they say, it's late, you can't come in. I say, why? And they hold the light on me and said, you can come on in. You look like children of the King. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that I can go and He loves me. Not one time would He bring up something that will incriminate me or hurt me or jab me, or He won't rub my nose in my failures and my disappointments and my weakness. But He'll put His strength in me, and He'll get His strong arms underneath me, and He'll lift me up, and He holds me up, and He keeps me up, thank God. Then as He is, as a man is, so is His strength. As a man is, it's not only what he loves and who he belongs to, it's what he lives for. I'm glad I'm in the greatest business in all of the world. Hallelujah. I'm proud of the fact that I'm a member of the Ziegler family. Maybe you don't think too much a bunch of crowd eaters and German background. But I was looking the other day at a picture of my grandpa, one of four brothers, big stalwart man, tall. All of them used to have mustache, wear them big 10-gallon hats. The one I was named after used to call him Fighting Cute. He used to take care of the colored folks at R.J. Reynolds years and years ago. Oh, how the old man could fight. Somebody, feller, stole his horse once and took it about 12 miles away to Walnut Cove. And the old man walked over there and whipped the daylights out of the man, brought his horse back home. When a little town of Germantown was the county seat of what's now Forsyth and Stokes County, they put the old man in jail and it made him mad, hurt his dignity. And he tore a big oak door off and carried it about 3 miles over the country on what they call Red Bank Road. I look back and not all things have been good to the past. Sometimes it's best to forget the past. Paul said forgetting the past. With all of its hurts and its agony and its broken heart moans and the groans and the tears. The ravaging of time and the hurt, that awful ache. That loneliness, that desolation. Oh, how it grieved, how it broke, how you wept. But forget it. You've got something to live for.
Amen.
You say, well, what are you living for? Well, I'm not living to make the world any better, I tell you that. I'm trying not to clear up politics. I don't care tonight hardly if you're a Democrat, Republican, independent, freelance, blue nose, onion eater. Whatever you may be, the main thing that counts, not are you successful, not do you have a lot of money, not do you look good, not do everybody applause when you come around, but are you going to heaven? Glory to God over there. Man, wear nothing. Where your clothes never get old and wear out. Where you'll never need your teeth pulled or your dentures fixed. Where you'll never have to go down to the doctor's office. and be fluoroscoped and cystoscope and all other kind of scopes. Where nothing will tarnish and nothing will grow old and nothing will wither and nothing will fade and there's no more goodbyes and no more benedictions. I'm living for that. And I'm living it somehow. I might take somebody along with me. I'm not a great soul winner. I'm not a great Christian. Oh, I wish that I was. We're living when the field's just about been harvested, and there's a little bit around the edges now. Just a little glint, and in the corners, not much wheat coming in. But did you know everything that had grains on it had even number grains? Ear of corn or grain of wheat, and Jesus knew what he was talking about. Some will produce 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And it may be 98 or 102. Or 58, or 62, or 28, or 32. But there's only three categories. And oh God, somehow help me bring forth 100-fold. You who keep the count, I don't know how much, but you know. A man is not only what he belongs to, what he loves, and what he lives for, and what he longs for, but what he labors for. I'm glad the labor's a labor of love. I haven't got any wages for it yet. Been getting close to 40 years, Brother Tom. Just a couple shy, about one and a half. And God hadn't come down and give me any currency yet. Yes. The end of the week, the way I live, the only income I have is your church gives me $100 a month. And the only other way I get in is I go over to the line where the Lord slew and reach down and get me a handful. I don't understand it. And I don't know why. Last church I passed, it runs. Last time I was by it, 777. I don't think I was the worst preacher in the world. Hadn't done anything. Just gone along for the ride and talked to the Lord while he did the work. But I'm glad it's a labor of love. And you cannot outlove him. You cannot outwork him. You cannot outgive him. Years ago in China, John and Mary Gaston, they'd won a few souls. Not many, but a few souls. But he's weary, discouraged, and talked about quitting and going down the river and catching the boat and coming home. So discouraged, he kept talking about Mary. One day we're just going, let's just go down the river and catch a boat and go back home. But Mary got sick and they had to go down the river a few days to find a doctor. And he took sweet, sick Mary in his arms and laid her in that boat and put a little canvas out over to keep the hot sun, boiling sun from blazing on her. Started that trip with sick Mary down the river. And as they go down the river, she said, John, I know you want to quit. But said, John, I'm glad we came. John, you remember so-and-so got saved. And she named them that had gotten saved. No great insignificant people. A peddler. Laborers. Housewife. Just peons. But said, John, I'm glad we came. They got saved, John. Aren't you glad, John? Oh, John said, don't give up. One day, about midday, the sun's hot. Faintly, she said, John, said, over there's a tree. He said, stop there. I can't go any further. He stopped the boat, took Mary out under the shade of the tree. She kissed him. She said, this is as far as I can go, John. I'm going home. But live for the Lord, John. Don't quit, John. She died. He got a paddle out of the boat and went back. Got down on his knees and dug out the grave. Hours of digging. Got the grave dug and got a few boughs of the tree put down in there. Laid Mary down in there. Put a few boughs over. Tears streaming down. Finally, at last, he began to scratch the dirt in. Covered Mary up. He'd had a couple of Chinamen with him that had left him because he knew she was going to die. And after he got a cover up, they came back and he got in the boat and he started going down the river. And he said, that's not the way. Back up the river. Back up the river. And maybe tonight you've come and your work has seemed small and insignificant. You weren't accomplishing anything. And you wanted to drift. And drift and go down the river. Oh, tonight. Tonight. Turn around and pedal. Let's go up the river. Up the river. Up the river. And where the Lord slays that old line that crosses our path, that's where we'll get our honey.
Amen, brother.
It's not always night. Joy cometh in the morning. And we're sealed unto that day, unto that morning when joy cometh. And we'll stand there and all creation will clap its hands and be glad. Because the manifestation, they look like children of the King. I came home in Charlotte one day, had a new suit on. I didn't get many suits. When I used to pastor at Lexington, you used to have to wear him a coat. July, folks would take your coat off, preacher. You couldn't. You'd wore the seat of your britches out and patched it on the inside with black tape, you know, to keep going. And you know how it is, old preacher makes all that money. But I had a new suit. Been to the hospital, came home, got out of my car. As I got out, starting the house, I heard the most blood-curdling yell in my life. And I ran around the house and across the fence. Deacon of the church's son there. German police dog had leaped over that fence and was biting hunks out just like you'd bite chunks out of apples. And I grabbed an axe where I'd been doing a little shrubbery work and jumped over the fence and went and tore that new suit all the way up. And got the dog off. Got him in my car and rushed him to the hospital. Name was Bucky. About a week or so, Bucky came home and I was sitting there one morning, about 9 o'clock, beautiful morning. And I heard all this giggling and laughter. And I looked out, went out, looked out the back door to see what it meant. And coming across my backyard to where their yard butted into it was about a dozen of the prettiest little girls that you'd seen. And I was just hoping they was coming to see me. But they wasn't coming to see me. They was wanting to see Bucky. See Bucky. And they stood there at the fence hollering, "Bucky." And I never will forget to my dying day when that daddy, that big man, that mountain of man, with them big old brawny arms and muscles, came out carrying Bucky, wanting to see Bucky. And I tell you, one day out yonder in the future, bless your heart, he's going to stand before the Father. And underneath me will be the everlasting arms.
Yes.
And he'll show me to the Father.
Amen.
What did he look like? He looked like children of the King. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's yours.